across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Because of her voice, the situation in Baltimore is calm again. Because of her obvious power and intelligence, it's all better now. Because of her infinite wisdom over us knuckle-dragging peons, Hillary Clinton has emerged to make a speech, citing all the old garbage that never works. Because it's all about blaming America. She said nothing new, but proved she knows nothing about the real world. But 32% of America will vote for her vagina. Blair Adams calling them as I see him on the American Adversaries Drive Time on AM 660. The answer, I don't think our host was swayed by the Hillary, but we'll find out. Here's Christopher Hart.
Well, thank God we're only on the web right now.
I didn't say anything.
Well, so let's talk about an opening, no pun intended. Thank you very much, Blair Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us. If you're listening to us right now, it's because you're listening on AM660TheAnswer.com. And as soon as we go up on the stick, we'll let you know. But obviously, if you're listening on AM660TheAnswer.com, you probably don't listen to us over the airwaves. But Tampa Rays are in a heated battle right now with the New York Yankees. I think it's about the 13th or 14th inning. The Rays just took the lead, but the Yankees are batting, so we shall see what happens. As soon as that game is over, they'll have a short post-game show, and then we will be back on AM 660, The Answer. Nonetheless, we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the very best in Mercury Free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399.
We're on now, Chris.
Okay, we're back up on the stick because evidently the Tampa Rays won the game. Is that right?
Yay!
All right, congratulations. What? Big over extra inning victory for the Rays over this year their arch nemesis, the Yankees. I think they were like 0-5 against the Yanks, so they pick up a victory as they head out of town. They would have been going to Baltimore, but they're coming back to St. Pete. We'll talk about that in just a minute, but we're just getting started in the show, folks. If you've been listening to the Rays and you've never heard our show, please stick around and give us a chance. We are the American Adversaries, a news talk show, and we are live here at 5 on AM 660, The Answer. 407-774-8255 is our number if you would like to be a part of the show. I am Christopher Hart, along with Blair Adams. We also have in the studio with us today one of our co-hosts, and he's a co-sponsor of the show, and that would be Aubrey Kahn, the man who is responsible for everything, as I was telling you last Sunday night. Hey, Aubrey, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Your mic's not on here.
We got to get your mic turned up.
Okay.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. You're on the wrong one.
I'm on the wrong one.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
There you go.
All right.
It's an octopus
in
here.
Nick had to lock in here. He's like, no, wait.
You're on the wrong tentacle.
Yes.
I'm glad it was a tentacle.
You were out in left field, so to speak. But Aubrey, thanks for being on the show.
Always a pleasure. Oh, by the way, did you know that Apple Inc. has been found out to be racist?
How so?
Apparently, the new Apple iWatch does not work on a black skin.
You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm serious. It doesn't work on black skins, and it has problems on tattoo because the ink gets in the way. There's a sensor at the bottom of that watch that monitors heartbeat and blood pressure and all the rest of that stuff.
Whoops.
Yeah, Apple addresses.
Whoops.
I wonder what our president's going to do about that.
I guess he won't be running out to get one of those things, that's for sure.
All right, I can't imagine how that would work.
That's going to be an amazing lawsuit. I mean.
It has trouble with colors black and red.
Pigmentation.
So I guess it's not going to work for the
Hindus, I guess.
Go there.
American Indians, they call the red race. I never thought they were red.
Have to do a little retooling on that rascal.
Nobody's redder than me. Would I get a sunburn?
All right. There is a technology that is working, and it picks up all the colors, and that is Lucas Paris's head cam.
It's true. It's true.
So you can go check us out there. That is Lucas, and Nick is on the bridge, so we're in good hands tonight. So welcome to the show. And we got a big one lined up for you again tonight. And don't forget, it's Tuesday. Or wait a minute, it's Wednesday already.
It's Wednesday.
It's hump day.
Wow. I already missed it. I missed Tuesday, but it is Wednesday. All right, as I said, Aubrey's in the studio. Let's just talk about the Rays game for a second. As I said, they're wrapping up in New York tonight. They would have been going pretty much straight from the ballpark to the airport to take a flight, a short skip and a hop down to Baltimore. Or is it up to Baltimore? Down to Baltimore. And they would have played a three-game series, starting tomorrow in Baltimore, three- or four-game series in Baltimore as part of their road trip. Well, now they're going to come home later this evening. They have to go back to the hotel. Then they're going to come home later this evening to St. Pete because Baltimore is not going to be playing baseball in their stadium for the rest of the week. This is insane. They played a baseball game today in front of no one. I mean, if you're going to go to that extent, now I know they've already canceled two games, just cancel one more and schedule some darn doubleheaders. Don't give in to this nonsense, playing a baseball game with nobody in the stands. Is that where we have come to the national pastime has to be played and no one can be there because we are so uncivilized? This is crazy. This is crazy.
We've become afraid of ourselves, Chris.
Well, evidently so.
Rioters are a protected class, remember? The mayor had to make room so they could destroy things.
Well, yeah. And then we've got all this pontificating from the likes of Hillary, as Lara was talking about his opening remarks. I hope you heard him. If you didn't, you're going to have to catch it in the archive. It's worth hearing. But also...
And Reverend L's on his way there, too.
And this bozo we have for a president yesterday.
Don't insult
basically,
the bozo.
Bozos
are clowns. Don't insult clowns.
I guess, yeah. I am sort of insulting the noble practice of clownistry.
Bozo could actually entertain children. I mean.
Well, that's true. But this guy, he gets asked the question... And it makes me think, you know, he's just been waiting for this opportunity to lay this answer on us. A 15-minute answer where he goes into this diatribe and basically doesn't make a whole lot of sense other than, you know, the same old blame game, the same old we need more welfare, we need more liberal policies, we need more liberal solutions. Well, I got news for you. The liberal solutions are where we are at.
Bring in the water cannons.
Right. I mean, this is Obama-America. This is an America of this president's creation.
Well, and also, this is a city that's been under almost total Democratic control for the last 50 years,
for
60
the last
years.
60 years, right, exactly.
Two Republican
so who do you go back on? Well, that was before the 60s when the Democrats took over.
Yes, yeah. But it's still the Republicans' fault.
They don't give enough. It's wealthy America doesn't give enough. They whatever they were given, it was not enough.
It never is.
No, it never is. But get this. Now, this guy's supposed to be really smart, but he says kind of dumb things like this. He says, this has been a slow-rolling crisis. This has been going on for a long time. This is not new, and we shouldn't pretend that it's new. Now, if the man had just gotten into office and said that, it might, you know, have a ring of truth. But if this has been going on, if it's been a slow burn for a long time, he's been president for 6 years. Why haven't you been doing something about it, Mr. Smart Guy?
I don't remember this stuff happening under Bush or Clinton or Bush or
Reagan. But if it's a slow burn, it means you can head it off the pass. You can do something. This is what is so tragic. Nick, give me two or three extra minutes here. This is what is so tragic about this man's presidency. He had the opportunity to actually be a good healing force for America between the races and between the classes. But instead, he chose to further those divides, to deepen those divides.
Politicize it.
To politicize it, to reopen old wounds. Not just make things not get better. He made things worse.
But he's a community agitator.
Well,
that's all he knows.
Well, he's pretty good at that. I'll have to say that.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's pretty agitated now.
Which gets me back to the slow burn thing and the diatribe of an answer. He wanted this to happen. He saw this developing. He knew it was developing. He threw gasoline on the fire. He wanted it to happen just so he could come out and have his say and sound like a smart man. Well, he wasn't nothing but a smart beep, okay? And then Hillary comes along, just basically parroting a parrot. I mean, that
income redistribution, that's their only solution.
But it's everybody else's income.
Like a good socialist.
Right. I tell you, every time Hillary speaks anymore, I feel like going and getting some saltine crackers. I can't figure it out.
How about this? We've been throwing money at this problem. Why don't we just maybe try pulling the money away and just seeing if it just works itself out without additional incentives?
You have no compassion.
Well, but he has an actual doggone solution that would be far more likely to work.
Hey, you've heard me expound my solution long enough, too. Nobody...
I want to address his point because it goes to something that was in the news today. So when we come back, we'll expound on Lucas Paris's point. If you want to be in on the conversation, please join us at 407-774-8255. That's right, folks. We are on a crazy train. That's why you listen to the American Adversaries when we try to jerk you off that thing. And Aubrey's been having a crazy week, so, I played
I'm
it.
A crazy guy. What can I tell you?
That's right.
You've had a crazy week? You weren't in Baltimore, were you?
No, I was in Kissimmee.
Yeah.
I went to court.
Yeah, well, thank God you came back out of it.
Right?
All right, well.
We don't know about that yet.
Welcome back to the show, folks. You're listening to the American Adversaries. 407-774-8255 is the number. There was a very interesting statistic that came out, but I want to sort of lead up to that. Lucas kind of led us in this direction. Say your comment again right before we went to...
My comment, I believe, was, if we've thrown money at this and it doesn't seem to fix itself, what about just pulling the money out and let the thing resolve itself?
All right, let's go from there. I want to read from editorial and op-ed page of today's Wall Street Journal. You're not supposed to say this in polite company, but what went up in flames in Baltimore Monday night was not merely a senior center, small businesses, and police cars. Burning down was also the Blue City model of urban governance. Nothing excuses the violence of rampaging students or the failure of city officials to stop it before Maryland's governor called in the National Guard. But as order starts to return to the streets and the usual political suspects lament the lack of economic prospects for the young men who rioted, aka Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and others, let's not forget who has run Baltimore and Maryland for nearly all of the last 40 years. The men and women in charge have been Democrats, and their governing ideas are, quote-unquote, progressive. This model, with its reliance on government and public unions, has dominated urban America as once vibrant cities such as Baltimore become shells of their former selves. In 1960, Baltimore was America's sixth largest city with 940,000 people. It has since shed nearly a third of its population and today isn't in the top 25. The dysfunctions of the Blue City model are many, but the main failures are three: high crime, low economic growth, and failing public schools that serve primarily as jobs programs for teachers and administrators rather than places of learning. We have thrown all of this money in there, and that's all we've gotten out of it. And then this statistic comes out. We have, as of 2014, in the United States of America, some 80,889,000 families. Of those, 16,057,000 of those families have no one in them working.
1/6 of the population.
If you, in case you want to do the math, that's 19.9%. Exactly. 1/5 of our population. You're pretty good at that.
I tell you what, I'm the best.
It's the Depression all over again.
That's right. In a way, it's worse.
Yeah.
In a way, it's worse.
No soup kitchen. Now you just get stamps.
24% unemployment during the Depression.
And at least during the Depression, you had a large part of the population that was able still to be rather self-reliant because it still was a large...
Farming.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Agrarian portion of our society. That doesn't exist anymore. We're all basically helpless babes in the woods now.
Well, there's a few other things. You know, during the Depression, there were soup kitchens. And people were embarrassed to line up and go into soup kitchens, but they went because they had no options.
You eat or you die.
Then we came out and said, that's not good enough because it's embarrassing. So we brought out food stamps.
Yeah.
And that was an embarrassment at the cash out.
Yeah.
So what have we done now? We've gone to debit cards.
EBT. Yeah.
Debit cards that you can use for gambling. You can use for anything and everything.
Well, but
and there's no shame.
Well, not only that, but even back when they had the food stamps, there was a lot of fraud. You know, the grocery store
goes
down
on
the street
today.
Oh yeah,
because you can draw cash from your EBT card
and buy drugs.
Anytime the government gives money away, you can bet that about 15 to 20% of it is going to go up in fraud.
Another 15% into a politician's pocket.
Well, there's always, you know, you got to grease the wheels, right?
Cough, cough.
But but part of the problem is that. But when you get right down to it, though, part of the problem is just common sense solutions. Like I want to talk about Toya. Toya, you guys know Toya?
LaToya Jackson?
No, Toya Graham. The mother who was whacking the snot out of her kid.
Yeah, I saw her. I fell in love with that woman, let me tell you.
We got a new role model. We got a new hero. And she is the old role model. She is the old hero. She is what's great about America. She wants to raise her kids to be productive in society, to where they'll have joyful lives.
Yeah, she saw the error of her ways.
Right. She says she's strict. She's raising a lot of kids on her own.
Right.
And she don't put up with no nonsense. And to hear the common sense that came out of her mouth. You know, here's the president for almost 15 minutes. I didn't hear one iota.
Well,
not one scintilla of common sense.
You wouldn't believe what the liberals are saying to this woman, the email she's getting from liberals is that the way you raise your son? You have to beat your son. It was horrible what you did. It was horrible. No, she smacked him on the back of the head a couple times while he's trying to run away. He knew he was caught. He knew he was totally embarrassed.
She was teaching him a lesson.
Oh, but even that. You shouldn't embarrass your kids. Even that is just too much.
Yeah. She used to be one of the welfare people who made children so that she could get more money. She's got six kids. And then she saw the error of her ways. And now she's raising her children to be honest, hardworking citizens. And this sheep has gone astray. And so she is a good shepherd, went out of her way, picked him up, slapped him around, knocked some sense into his head, and sent him home.
Yeah, where he belonged. And she said, she's been saying things that this president should have been saying and should have been saying a long time ago. Because, yeah, you're right, Mr. President, this has been a slow burn.
Maybe we should put up against Hillary.
And you ignited the slow burn, Mr. President. Or if you didn't ignite it, you certainly have been, you know, blowing
fanning
on
the flames.
Fanning the flames. You better believe it. And she said, like, for instance, she said, you know, if you're going to go out there and protest, you know, we do have some problems with the police and this is in our communities. She said, but you don't riot. You don't tear things up. You don't destroy things. Two wrongs don't make a right. I quote now, Toya Graham, two wrongs don't make a right. How long has it been since one of our dear and glorious leaders has said something so profound and yet so simple and yet so correct?
Well,
been a long time, hadn't it been?
Yeah, but you see, that statement, Chris, does not take into account all the oppression over the years that really drove this. These were people weren't driven by greed or mayhem or wanting to. They were just upset because of they've been oppressed over the the century.
And their forefathers were slaves.
Yeah,
that's right.
All I can say is if she was on the O.J. jury, he'd have been in prison long before he finally got there. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. We're live. We're in the hive. I am Christopher Hart along with Lair Adams, Aubrey Kahn, Lucas Paris, who has us up on the head cam. Just go to our Facebook page, American Adversaries, and there we will be linked up. Nicholas Cicero's on the bridge. If you want to call us, 407-774-8255 is the number. Before we move on, I want to talk about, there's a prayer march coming up. Have you heard about this, Aubrey? The prayer march in May, on May 16th.
Where, at Lake Yola?
Yes.
I might be there.
All right. I hope you'll be there. I'm going to be there. And I hope you folks will be there and join us. It's a prayer march for persecuted Christians and Jews around the world.
I wonder if President Obama will make an appearance. Or will he send a delegation?
Only if he can ride in a golf course and a golf cart and put in 18 holes.
Well,
right?
It could be it could be a water hazard.
Yeah, but think about it. Think about what's going on in the world. And we get these mass protests, and these actually turn into riots. And yet what's been happening to Christians, basically not a peep out of anybody. So come on out, folks, and join us on Saturday, May the 16th at Lake Eola at 4:30, as I said, for a walk for persecuted Christians and Jews around the world. It's about time we let the world know that we care, and we need to care.
I think the world knows we care, and it also knows that the administration doesn't give a damn.
He just told us at the last his little prayer thing that, you know, most of the problems in the world are the fault of Christians. I mean, they've done it all. It's the Crusades, which I don't remember the Christians being at fault during the Crusades. They're protecting themselves and their territory. But, hey, how are you to us things?
You know, it just depends on which side of the fence you're on.
Yeah.
Well, and we know what side he's on.
In this case, folks, this is something you can do. It's going to be in the evening. It'll be 4:30 to 8:15 in the promenade at Central Avenue. And it's, of course, free. All you have to do is come out and walk. It's going to be a mile walk, and basically a time or two around the lake there. There'll be free parking on the corner of Jackson and Roslyn. There'll be signs out there. And the evening before, on Friday, May the 15th at 6:30 at the First Presbyterian Church right there on East Church Street, 106 East Church, the big one downtown there, they're going to have a roundtable discussion. And a couple of the fellows that were on our show, I believe it was last week, Gil and Boulis Waba are going to be there as part of the roundtable. So you'll be able to talk about the persecution going on around the world and hear about it. And perhaps, be the kindling of a fire that will burn against the evil things that are going on, so to speak. Saturday, May the 16th, come on out and join us down there, 4:30, Lake Eola. Speaking of religious things, some interesting things have been happening while all this has been going on in Baltimore. For one, there was some interesting arguments yesterday and an interesting revelation made by the government as they were presenting their case before the Supreme Court for same-sex marriage. one of the justices got one of the lawyers for the government to admit that if the Supreme Court goes full all out and says that same-sex marriage is a constitutional right, which is what they would have to rule, and therefore all states will have to allow same-sex marriage, that if they do that and churches refuse still to perform those ceremonies, according to the government lawyer, it's very likely they will lose their tax-exempt status.
I say that's a good thing.
Well, I say in a way it is too. Because if you are letting a tax-exempt status quiet you or hold you back from teaching what you should be teaching or standing up for what you should be standing up for, then you're pretty well worthless and don't deserve it to begin with.
Well, you know, part of the problem is that the churches have not been talking about politics or what is morally wrong or right that the government is doing for fear of losing their tax-exempt status. I say lose it and free up the church to preach the gospel the way it should be done.
I agree with you there, but it goes further than that. Take this prayer march, for instance. This persecution has been right out in the wide open. I mean, they're using this stuff as a recruiting tool here in the United States.
Yep.
And why? It will not jeopardize their income tax status to stand up in the pulpit and talk about that, would it?
Well, whilst they were under the thumb of the IRS and being told you don't discuss politics or who to vote for, from the pulpit,
well,
we're going to take away your tax-exempt status. It's been making the pastors and the churches turn their backs on reality.
If they are that cowed, then they're not worth wasting your time listening to.
Amen, but what can you do? They've all built up their churches by using tax-exempt status. Unfortunately, and this is not the case in every case, many of the people that come out of the Bible colleges have gone in not because they are called of God, but they see it as a great way to earn a living and a great career.
Yeah, it's a career opportunity.
It's soft simony.
Yeah, yeah. But you're absolutely right about that. But look at what was just said in the court yesterday. They're so holding on so tightly to this precious tax exempt status. Well, guess what? The government is aching to take it away from you anyways. The first opportunity, they're going to snatch it away. And all those years when you sat there silent, gripping onto this thing as though it were something real that you could actually hold on to, it'll be gone.
You know, give them a really good reason to instead.
Right. You know what? There's one thing missing from this conversation.
What's
and
that?
That's the background music from Frozen. Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. Let it go.
I'm getting sick, Aubrey.
Well, it's like, you know, it's a biblical sort of story, if you will, a biblical trial that if you are so attached to earthly things, you will be bound and chained by them. And that's all that we are seeing with that status. It is an earthly, secular thing. It may not be something that you can hold in your hand, but it is something that exists in reality.
And render unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
But you can be bound by that and chained by it. I believe that's what our pastors have become, bound and chained. Many of them willingly so.
They serve more than one master.
Yeah,
and it cannot be.
Let's go to Michael on the line right now. Thank you for calling, Michael. We appreciate you being out there.
Thank you, gentlemen. That's a couple of things. Number one, do the right thing and everything will take care of itself. And the second point is, if it wasn't for the churches, we would have not had the civil rights movement.
You're absolutely right.
Yep.
You are absolutely right. And many of the most effective arguments, I must say, when it comes to gay rights, is they go to biblical arguments. And the reason they do it is because they are the most powerful.
Absolutely.
They carry the most weight.
Let me submit this. When you have a controversial subject, isn't it best to be debating it or discussing it in a church?
Well, I think so.
That's the
and, our founding fathers thought so. You remember the Black Robe Gang or whatever they called it, the Black Robe?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Go back to the basics.
You got that right. Man, do you got that right. Go back to the basics, and you'll find a way to be victorious in the quest. Michael,
y'all keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you. We intend to, and we tend to double up on it.
You know what? They also came out, one of the Supremes said that the definition of marriage has been around since the
Kennedy.
Beginning.
Yeah,
it was Justice Kennedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the lawyers for gay marriage say, well, murder's been around, and this and that, and the next thing's been around. Why is that right? You know,
well, and, they're also saying that shows for the millennia we've been wrong.
Yeah.
Well, the that's what they're twisting it around to say.
I was going
to
say that's twisted logic.
Here's the thing: he said the definition of marriage has been around, and that they who are the Supremes to change it. The definition of murder has been around just as long.
And they're not changing that either.
And that no one's wanting to change that.
I don't.
Nope.
It's twisted logic, like Larry said. You know? It's a twisted form of trying to make their argument, but it is twisted nonetheless.
And the media will lap it up and spew it out and twist it and change it to suit.
Yeah. Politics has been trying to make something seem relative that's not relative for way too long.
Yeah, everybody thought Kennedy was going to be the swing vote on that. It may turn out that Roberts is the swing vote in all of this. Well, we shall see.
Remember what happened with Obamacare?
Yeah. Okay.
Who was the swing vote?
Well,
it was Roberts.
Well,
why?
Was,
because apparently there was something with the paperwork on his adopted kids.
Well, it's... It'll be interesting, and the decision will be made in fairly short order, and then they'll begin to write it. So they'll probably have a vote on it here within a week or two, and that's when they'll make the decision, and then they will sit down to actually write it out.
Will they make an exemption for clergy who do not believe in gay marriage?
Well, that's what I just said. The government lawyer argued yesterday no. No.
There will be a major uprising. There will be civil unrest, and...
Well, then the Supreme Court will take that into consideration. The only problem is the people you're talking about are law-abiding citizens who are loath to do anything like that. we're kind of stuck, right?
No.
I mean, we want to abide by the law.
Here's another thing to take into account.
Which is the higher law? Moral law as given by the law, our Lord and Savior,
right,
or man's law?
Well,
who do we obey?
Well, our laws derive from the higher authority.
Used to.
Well, they should anyway, still.
They used to.
We shall see with this Supreme Court.
And here's another thing.
But that was an interesting question that Kennedy raised with that argument, because he's basically going back to biblical times and working his way forward here. And what he basically said, though, was that, you know, this is so new that perhaps we need to look at it a while before we can make a real decision about it.
What's new about biblical marriage?
And that's the prudent thing to say. What's that?
What's new about the biblical definition of marriage?
No. Same-sex marriage.
Well, and then we're going to have polygamy.
Oh, yes.
Well, bestiality.
These will be the next argument.
Because this was put forward, and they said, okay, so if a man and a man love each other, why shouldn't they be able to marry? All right? Well, in that case, if a father and his daughter love each other, why should they not be able to marry?
I was going to say the next arguments will be over polygamy and then incest, and then they'll go to the more bizarre from there.
Of course. All right. It's a downhill slope.
And here's the strange thing about no. Eventually, it can turn into yes.
I'm going to hold back my comment on that one. We'll go ahead and take the break. Don't go away. All right, there you go. We're listening to the I almost the pearls of talk radio decadence. All right, welcome back to the show. 407-774-8255 is the number. You know, getting ready to have a little bit of a cold snap here.
I know, down in the 50s tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Really?
So, I like that.
Yeah, I do too, but enjoy
I'd rather
it
have the rain.
Enjoy it while you can, because it's probably going to be the last one for a while. Or who knows? I don't know, but you know, it's going to get real warm here really soon, and you need to have that AC working right. And if you need a new AC, go to AmazingRadioDeals.com because you can get a half-price AC unit. And Aubrey will tell you how important it is to have the right unit in your house. But that's AmazingRadioDeals.com. And, of course, that's where you can also save on tuition, get your child out of public school or grandchild out of public school into a private, great Christian private school. They have them all over Central Florida, from Sanford to Windermere to Kissimmee to Orlando Winter Park, you name it. And AmazingRadioDeals.com, or call Bill Files. He'll be glad to help you out. He's a great guy. 407-618-1760. 407-618-1760. AmazingRadioDeals.com. Okay, I want to go to the phone lines. Let's go to Diane. Diane, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there. Hello, Diane. Are you with us still?
Hello.
Yeah, there you are. Hey.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And,
that's awesome.
Without great listeners and recruits like you, I wouldn't even thought about doing it. But with all this great support that we're building, had to go for the gold. So I appreciate that.
That's awesome. I think the justices have no business talking about this. The state's already decided on their votes, and just a few liberal judges. Yeah. Threw it out.
Well, let's be clear.
People had no say, really.
Yeah, well, let's be clear. The federal judges did it because they determined in their minds that the state, whether it's a state constitutional amendment or simply a state law, that they were in violation of the federal constitution, our United States Constitution, which holds supremacy. And so they threw it to the Supreme Court to see if they would have the same opinion. Having said that, I think, you know, the Supreme Court, you know, I studied a little constitutional law in college. Supreme Court, generally speaking, more often than not, they split the baby. And so I would not be surprised. There were several issues at play. You could hear them sort of trying to work out different scenarios. I would not be surprised if they did not say that gay marriage is a constitutional right. It is. We'll leave that up to the states. But say that states, even if you do not allow gay or same-sex marriage, you still must accommodate people who are married in another state, for instance, in your divorce courts and other type, you know, hospitals.
But they already have that. They don't need to be married. They just have to go to the courthouse and say, we want to be partners.
Well,
my nephew did that with a woman.
Right. And it, basically, they would be codifying that into statute law. And making that a precedent now for future decisions to be based upon. I can see that happening. I can also see them going all out. But if they go all out, it will be a very problematic situation for our society for reasons that we've talked about and Aubrey elucidated earlier in the show.
Absolutely.
And this guy, this Supreme Court Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, he's ready for a fight. He's raring to go. So, yeah, if they go all out and say same-sex marriage is a constitutional right, it will open the door to further social litigation, shall we say, that will be played out both in the political world and in the courts. So if they want to sort of make a real decision, I think it would be to leave it up to the states to decide, do they want to sanction same-sex marriage, but allow that people who are married, say, in Massachusetts can come down here and live down here and eventually fall apart and get a divorce or, you know, have our...
Which usually happens.
Yeah. or they would still, you know, it would still be in terms of our probate laws and things like that. So, like I say, Supreme Court, traditionally speaking, more often than not, they split the baby. So we shall see. But thanks, Diana. I tend to agree with you. And thanks for the congratulations. We appreciate that. And if you haven't heard the news, why we've been getting congratulated by Diane and Al last night, it's because starting Monday, we will be no longer doing a one-hour show. We'll be doing a two-hour show Monday through Friday. And thanks to Aubrey Kahn. Couldn't do it without this gentleman here. Aubrey Kahn, Affirm Foundation Home Inspections. Without great sponsors like him, he's been with us going on 2 years now. And Pasquale Barba and David Levitt and the Roxies and my dentist, Dr. Hardy, and Mara Lee, Vacation Travel Planners, the Just Toys guys, Mike and J.R. Smith, Just Toys Classic Cars. And I just love going to their website. That's my porn, going to their website.
Well, you know, Chris, naked car.
Oh, I'm telling you, in all their glory.
But, Chris, you know, with 2 hours comes more expense.
Indeed.
We need more sponsors. So, if you're a business owner and you have some marketing budget, let me tell you, radio is the way to go. And, you know, call Chris or Lair, call the show or go onto the website, send them a message, and they will hook you up so that you are actually a sponsor and a contributor to the show, not just the radio station.
Step in the ring with us.
Absolutely. We're a brokered show. That means we pay for our airtime. We're not employees of the radio station. They've been very good to us, and this is a big step for us. And this is prime time radio time, so we really appreciate it. We take it very seriously, and Aubrey's right. We're going to need more help to make this thing work. We're either going to stand tall or we're going to crash and burn. We're going to fly high or we're going to crash and burn. And it's going to be dependent upon the getting new sponsors and getting more recruits in our American Adversaries Army. And if you want to be a sponsor of our show, if you want to advertise on radio, we're going to be running some specials. We'll get you on for the first month at half price. And it's very reasonable from there. And so all you have to do is go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Give us a call here at the radio station. We'll take your information. We'll get in touch with you. My phone number is on our webpage, so you can call me directly. I'd love to talk to you. It works. Aubrey's been with us going on 2 years. David Levitt gets our listeners over at Refresh Computers. And if you're not going there for your computer needs, you're going to the wrong place because you'll get the best deal there. Ask Nick LoCicero. He got a great setup there. I've got a great laptop from there. And Tuesdays are free tune-up Tuesdays. Pasquale Barba's been with us over 4 years now. And part of the reason is he likes us, but part of the reason is people come to his restaurant because they hear us talking about it on the show. It works. So please give us a chance to help you out. We know there are a lot of you out there who are small business owners.
Well, speaking of Pasquale, I mean, the last event we had there, our 1,000th show celebration, I'll bet 75% of the people there were people there that were listeners to our show and came to help celebrate.
Yeah. And so it works, folks. Radio works. I do this What's the Score show on the weekends, and thank you for the compliments from our listeners that I get on that. People come into the Score offices, I heard it on the radio. And so it works. Aubrey's right. This is a great way to do your marketing, get your message out, and we'll be glad to help you out. And we'll make it so easy for you, you'll go away smiling.
You know, I'm a businessman first and foremost. I'm a family man. And if it didn't work, I wouldn't be spending the money. I might be stupid, but I'm not a fool.
Your mama didn't raise no fool, did she? All right. And, okay.
Careful how you say that, Chris.
Well, look at this. We're already out of time. This is why we want to go to 2 hours, folks. We're just getting warmed up. We're just getting raring to go. Look here. Joe Ferraro just walked in the studio here.
Joe!
And
hi, how you doing?
There he is. We didn't get a chance to talk to him. So you're going to have to tune in tomorrow night to catch more of the American Adversaries. Colonel David Smith will be joining us, our friend Colonel Smith, from the United Arab Emirates, where he is right now. He's got some very interesting things to tell us. Night, everybody.